You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome one, welcome all to the greatest show of them all. It is the NFC East mixtape presented to you by Blog of the Boys, Bleeding Green Nation, Hogs Haven, Big Blue View, SB Nation's home for NFC East content. You can listen to the show on any one of their podcast networks. You can also watch this show on the Bleeding Green Nation YouTube channel or the Blog of the Boys YouTube channel. We make it very easy for you to find however you consume your content. He is Brandon Lee Gotten from BGN. I am RJ Ochoa from BTB. BLG, happy I guess it's actually new league year to people probably when they're listening to this. The new league year begins on Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern. We are technically still in the legal tampering window. Do you feel tampered with?
Wow, what a question to start the pod with. It's a busy time of year, RJ. A lot of things happening. Some people have time to go out with a run, or on a run, I should say, with their families, which I am shocked by.
I got a lot of heat for that. A lot of people were like, what are you doing? I mean, the Cowboys weren't doing anything.
I don't know. What if like something huge dropped? And I want to be clear that I'm not. Right. I don't want to shame you and your family for getting exercise.
For exercising, right.
No, that's great. Everyone should do that. But the timing, I just thought, I was like, wait a minute. Like, I woke up at 4 yesterday and I stayed up till like midnight. I work hard, everyone, just to have to let you know, because that's what hardworking people do, is then tell everyone about it. It was just funny to me. And Holden, my good friend Holden, and E and Josh, I ran into them before today's show, and they saw that, and they were giving you crap as well.
Again, I just don't understand. And here's the thing. You got to be like thinking three steps ahead from a content creation standpoint, Brandon. All right. I even tweeted before I ran.
That's a terrible sentence.
I don't know if you saw this. I tweeted like about to go for a run. So something Cowboys is definitely going to happen. Had something happened, it would have been content. It would have been like, go for a run. It would a long time ago when I first got into blogging and things like this, I had a similar sort of tweet. And you'll remember the player. I tweeted like, I'm about to get a haircut. The Cowboys are surely going to sign somebody in this like window of time. Sure enough, it happened. Cedric Thornton signed to the Dallas Cowboys in that exact window. And then the next time I went and got a haircut, I did the same thing. And I don't remember who it was, but the same thing happened. So like three haircuts in a row that I tweeted about, it was just kind of a fun, cool little thing. So I was trying to, you know, replicate that, emulate that. It didn't happen. They did restructure Michael Gallup's contract right before the run. So maybe that was the motivation, but no big deal. 3 miles, just kind of crushed it. Shout out to me.
Good job. Congrats.
So two things before we get into all of the free agency news. The free agency frenzy, as every major network show likes to call it, because you have to have that alliteration in there. Two things. Well, first of all, we're recording this on Tuesday, March 14th. Happy Pie Day to you, Brandon. What's your favorite kind of pie?
Pizza, baby. Pizza pie.
It's a good answer. I think people would go more dessert pies, but pizza pie is definitely the answer. Pecan, you know, whatever. Pumpkin, miss me. Cheesecake, kind of a pie. I'm not a fan. What?
No?
Some people think that cheesecake is a pie. I've seen that argument before.
It's literally in the name, cheesecake.
I mean, cake. But if we talk about the fundamental like qualities of it, it's kind of like a pie. So, but whatever.
I feel like cupcake is more of a pie or a cake.
I think it's more of a muffin. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think it's fair to call it a cake.
Of those two, what do you think it'd be more of?
I think it's a muffin. I don't have to live in that world.
No, so you can say it's only closer. Is it closer to one of these two things? Is a cupcake closer to being cake, or is it closer to being pie?
How is a cupcake anywhere near levels of pie?
I agree, but Mike Mitchell from Doughboys is a big cupcake is pie truther.
Well, so, okay, we're recording this on Tuesday, March 14th at about noon Central Time. So it's very possible that something has happened to date this episode. This is just the way our schedules work. Brandon is awake for, you know, 18 hours, and this the only one that he has to record. So two things. One, I ordered a pellet grill over the weekend. Yeah, and so, it's a grill that instead of using charcoal, uses wood pellets. And so it effectively is like the easiest way to grill, because all the research I did, it's sort of like an outdoor oven. That's what all the like people who mock it call it. You can set it, leave it, control it. It's electric technically, hence the like oven correlation. But the pellet, you know, is it the meat or whatever you're making is smoked. It's the smoke that's technically cooking things. There's no technical flame the way there would be on like a standard charcoal grill or even a propane grill. But so I ordered one. And so it's a mechanism designed to smoke meats and things like that. So if anybody has some recommendations, we usually get something. Like, we've asked for some weird stuff in the past, and generally people have always had some sort of answer. So if you have any kind of recipe or something you suggest that I make in my pellet grill that will be delivered later this week, I would appreciate it. The first big thing I'm planning on trying, BLG, pulled pork. Super pumped about that.
Yeah, I feel like that's like a no-brainer kind of place to start. I was thinking some salmon. You like a salmon?
Oh, that's kind of one of the biggest proponents in my household. Well, we're fit. We obviously exercise, but we eat a lot of salmon.
Why did you say it like that?
A lot. Well, you're the one, because I'm taking heat like left and right from people. Like, you know, I'm like in the pellet grill of takedom. Like, people there have had this huge problem with the fact that I went for a run. But anyway, I'm going to do a lot of salmon. And I've heard that a pellet grill specifically revolutionizes the way that salmon tastes. You can also get like flavored pellets. So I'm anxious to kind of play around with them, like some cherry or pecan or whatever the case may be. But if anybody has some stuff they recommend, send them my way. That's my question. But do you have a question? Because I have one more question related thing.
Well, have you ever seen, I think his name is Chef Cuso on like YouTube or whatever?
I followed a ton of Instagram people after purchasing the pellet grill. You know what I'm saying?
He's like a big Bill's fan, I believe.
And right,
he
makes right.
His own like spices, but I always see him. He shows up in like my YouTube shorts of like cooking a bunch of good stuff on the grill. I feel like he has some interesting ideas.
I saw he did on the subject of salmon, a salmon wrapped shrimp.
Yes,
very interesting.
Yeah, he does like interesting creative stuff like that.
Right on. Okay, so that's the question that I have posed to the mixologists, but we're actually now asking questions. We're fielding questions. I apologize to whoever it was that tweeted this at us and recommended this idea. It was a few weeks ago at this point, so I've forgotten. But
tweet
we
us again, and we'll retweet you and give you credit.
Right. Good point. But somebody who we will find out it is shortly, obviously, told us that we should have an NFC East mixtape question of the week. And actually, the genesis for this, I don't know if you saw these tweets in your, like, again, 18-hour workdays. People are mad that you and I aren't mad at each other. People miss the discord and the dissension that we had in the middle of the regular season. There's just too much peace and passivity here in the days of the offseason. So I think that the idea was that the questions would spur some debates. But still, we're definitely interested in answering your questions and tackling the subjects that you want us to talk about. So these are the instructions. If you have a question, something you want to be a legitimate part of the show on a given week, you have to write it in a review. It can be a review on any one of the four platforms, whether that's Blogging the Boys, Bleeding Green Nation, Hogs Haven, Big Blue View. Go leave a rating, write a review, put NFC East mixtape question of the week, and it will be on the rundown. Deal, Brandon?
Yeah.
That was it?
Yep.
Okay. Wow. I thought I was going to get some more love for like the pulled pork and things like that. Like, I thought you were going to be really into that.
I said that I think that's a good place to start.
I am not worried about the actual smoking of the meat, but like the making of like some sort of sauce. Like, some people, like, I know they do like they put like Dr. Pepper in their sauce and stuff like that. Like, that's a little bit beyond my like chemistry capability.
Well, I think you work your way up to that.
Okay.
I would do a brisket too, by the way. Really,
that's know, definitely that's, the plan.
You have to work. I would not start with that. I would work your way up to that as well.
Definitely the plan. I don't know what is going to be the first thing, but I want to do nachos with some sort of meat. I don't know if it's like pork, you know, the pulled pork maybe on the nachos, or like brisket nachos or something like that. But
brisket nachos would be great.
Definitely going to be some good times. Okay, we have a lot of free agency things to kind of get to. We of course go in order of divisional standing. It is the off season, which means we start with the Philadelphia Eagles, and wow, Jason Kelce, Howie Roseman doing shots together. How unprofessional of Howie Roseman.
Jason Kelce, who was your pick for most overrated Eagles player during our offseason, most overrated, underrated, said he was not you would not admit to me he was a Hall of Famer, which I think you've hopefully come around on.
I said that in the lead up to the Super Bowl, and like that's a fit. Like, I'm fine with that take. Like, he put together like maybe his best season of all time. I don't know that that's a stretch.
Well, he's definitely solidified it, but he was on track to be Anyway, regardless, he's back. That's not a surprise. It felt like he was going to be back. There was whispers during the Super Bowl week that he wasn't like quite ready to be done playing. The Eagles made him the highest paid center. They adjusted his contract. He wasn't even a free agent. Technically, his contract was set to void. So they did have to make a decision. There was that to be made, which is why it was announced, but it wasn't like he was going to join another team so much. He wasn't like he was talking to other teams like these other Eagles free agents are. So big deal to get him back. It's great. And it does mean that Cam Jurgens, who was selected in the second round last year, will not be playing center to take over for Kelsey in year two, but probably guessing he will be playing at right guard because I'm anticipating the Eagles will lose Isaac Sumalo in free agency.
Interesting. Cowboys kind of in a similar boat. If and when the Tyron Smith domino falls, it kind of solidifies that Tyler Smith will be playing a left guard. Kind of like you're talking about, Cam Jurgens was like the, you know, center waiting in the wings. Like, that's obviously not happening now. At least that's not the plan with Jason Kelce returning. Brandon Graham also returning. We had the like obligatory, like, I don't want to leave, Philly's so great, blah, 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 whatever, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But
I mean, he did take a relatively under market deal, I think, for a guy coming off 11 sacks, like $6 million a year is pretty decent. I forget what that, I think it's like 37th among edge rushers. Like, that's a pretty decent rate. And if there is one player the Eagles can kind of be sentimental about, and even if he stunk and still keep him around, it would be Brandon Graham, I feel like, given all that he's done, and he's an all-time player. But he doesn't stink. Like, he's coming off a career year. I still think he's gonna be really good as a rotational player. He has a chance to become the all-time Eagle leader in games played for the franchise this season. So I think he only needs 10 or 11 more for that to pass, I think, Chuck Bednarik. So that's like a pretty crazy thing.
Says a lot about the like kind of last, I don't know, 10 years of Eagles football and like what they've been, certainly for certain players. I think if you look at that era, like the last decade, the faces of it, there's no quarterback who's the face of that whole era, obviously, because there have been, you know, a few different ones. But Jason Kelce and Brandon Graham, I think, like, if it were a book, I think they would be the cover of the book. So
they are. Shout out to Bo Wolf from The Athletic, the longest tenured Eagles teammates of all time, the longest, like, you know, pair of two players were ever in the team for concurrently. And then also Brandon Graham is the longest tenured athlete in Philadelphia. That happened last year when Claude Giroux got traded, but still kind of crazy that he'll be around for another year and he'll keep that going.
Like, longest athlete ever of any professional sports
like currently
team?
Like, currently he's the longest tenured athlete.
Not the longest tenure ever, but the, like, he's been the longest professional athlete
active
at this moment in time.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, that's a weird truth, but, you know, hey, I like stuff like that.
Crazy when you, like, reflect on his career and you're like, oh, he was a bust and now he's, like, Super Bowl hero and he's going to be, like, the lead the Eagles in games play. It's just a very interesting kind of career path for him. And he's a great guy and he really should have won Comeback Player of the Year, but he didn't.
I'm wondering who that would be for Dallas. I think it might be Tyron Smith. That's a good question. By the way, on the subject of this, I was thinking, you know what's kind of cool is when you're Pittsburgh and all your teams are the same colors. That's got to be really cool. Like, when every single one of your major teams has the same color scheme, that's got to be really, really, really cool. So
I'm surprised you like that as someone who doesn't really think, you know, you have to root for the other teams in the same city.
If you're going to be like the Pittsburgh guy or the Pittsburgh person, Pittsburgh girl, I mean, it's cool. It's convenient, right? Like, you know, it makes, like, if you're a Pittsburgh, if you live there, like, it makes, like, decorating your garage easier. You know what I mean? Like, the color scheme is kind of set up for you. You know what I mean? Like, everybody knows the, like, what is it called? The hex color, you know, code or whatever scheme. Like, I bet they know, like, what it is for the Penguins and the Steelers and the Pirates and everything. So, shout out to them. The Eagles. So, the only two players, correct me if I'm wrong, who they have retained so far in free agency, although retain implies, like, they were on the verge of going to another team. To your point, that was going to happen. But Jason Kelce, Brandon Graham, there are four departures. Javon Hargrave left in free agency, which is not shocking, but it was kind of shocking, correct me if I'm wrong, where he chose to go. And that is the San Francisco 49ers, the team who was super duper noble about the way they lost the NFC Championship game.
Well, if only they had Javon Hargrave in that game, they would have won. No. I mean, this is a really good addition for them. And shout out to Stats. I totally forgot to mention Stats last week when I was talking about guests. I was like, yeah, we've only had so many guests on the show, you know, like Rick Devins, and I couldn't name another one, as if Stats wasn't just on the show recently. Sorry, Stats. I know you're listening. And shout out to Rachel, who did a great job hosting last week, by the way.
Lots of great feedback for Rachel last week. Yeah.
Losing Hargrave sucks. I mean, really good player. How many guys do you really have in the NFL who can give you pass rush juice from the interior like he can? Not many. And that's why he got upwards of, you know, over 20 million, like 21 million a year. I think the Eagles are just in a spot where they have like 50 million in dead cap this year. That's kind of the price you have to pay when you do all these void years and you're pushing and you're restructuring contracts and you keep pushing money into the future. Eventually, you can't kick the can down the road like forever. Eventually, those chickens come home to roost. I'm kind of mixing metaphors here, but I think the Eagles are taking a different approach to their last post Super Bowl era, where back then it was kind of like, we're just going to run it back for the most part. And here, I think it's because of some of it is because of the situation, the salary cap necessitates this. They're not going to, you know, give this big money to a guy who is 30 plus, and they're going to try to rely on some of their younger talent.
I mean, it's fair. It's a bet to make, though, right? Like, I don't know that this is the like consensus slam dunk thing to do. You know what I mean? Like, I think there's logic to it, but yeah, I mean, it has to suck. I mean, like, watching him leave and watching him join another contender. In fact, like, if I knew, I think this goes for everybody, but like, if I knew that the Niners were going to have some stable quarterback play, right? Like, and like, if we knew that Brock Purdy was going to return, and I don't mean like just to win every game the way he had been, but like, if we knew that he was going to return and just be kind of a stable quarterback, like, I think they'd be my pick to win the Super Bowl, or at least win the NFC. Like,
wow.
Like, the only defense I trust, and I include the Cowboys in like the group here, to be like sustainably good, or rather sustainably elite, is the Niners. Like, obviously the Eagles can do it, the Cowboys can do it, like, we've seen other teams do it, but like, I have more questions about any other team doing it. We have seen that, you know, model of stability from the Niners defense, and they've lost obviously coordinators, like, you know, and managed to continue to kind of stay true to form. So adding Hargrave to that mix certainly, I think, is a rising tide that lifts all the boats, and all the boats are already like, it's like the Buccaneers Super Bowl parade, like, they're all these like fancy expensive yachts, like, that's the boats that they're working with.
There's kind of a, I don't know if it's fully a cope take. There's more than 0% cope take out there that it doesn't matter a ton. This is not coming from me, to be clear. I'm just saying that I've seen put out there that it isn't the most meaningful thing that the Eagles are losing players on the defensive side of the ball, because defense only goes so far anyway. And I do agree with that, to the extent of that offense matters more. And I've always said that, and I've always believed in that. And having the quarterback in place, like, I believe the Eagles have a Super Bowl ceiling next season because they have Jalen Hurts and they have a lot of this offense, a lot of good offensive pieces, and I think structure in place. I believe in that ceiling for them. Now, the part where, like, I can't minimize the loss of someone like Javon Hargrave and others is that, like, while the defense, you don't necessarily need that to guarantee you a championship, I mean, it did increase your margin for error, I feel like, and like was a big reason why you led the league in sacks, and was a big reason why you set the franchise record for wins in a season with 14. So, you know, it's like, you can't downplay these losses and say they don't matter at all. I don't think it, again, removes them from being a contender, but I think it lowers their chances significantly.
Quick note while we're talking about this, everybody's dunking on the Jets. Right, like, because how they're, like, you know, moving heaven and earth for Aaron Rodgers.
What are they
doing? Nice. I'm while you were talking, Adam Schefter.
That was a joke for visual listeners only. Sorry.
Adam Schefter tweeted out right now that Packers veteran free agent tight end Mercedes Lewis, I'm just reading his tweet word for word, who spent the past five seasons in Green Bay, has drawn interest from, amongst others, the New York Jets and Las Vegas Raiders. It's really pathetic. It's worth mentioning with regards. What?
How old is he? He's like super old.
Oh, dude, I think he was drafted in like 2006. Like, I mean, it's got to be a long time.
I'm gonna guess he's 38.
I'm guessing his draft year was 2006. I think he was on the Jaguars with David Garrard. Like, I think he was like that far back. Are you looking this up?
Yeah, but again, my scrolling is not working. Okay, it's terrible right now. He is 38. I was right.
When was he drafted?
And then. He was drafted in 2006.
Oh my gosh. Is this the greatest episode of the mixtape of all time? Like, wow. With how we're dominating this? Wow.
I love that he has like a market, and we're 38-year-old teams are bidding over 38-year-old Mercedes Lewis, who has like what? how many like catches or yards or whatever recently. He had 66 yards last year, six catches for 66 yards. Teams are bidding over this guy.
So he was, by the way, on that 2007 Jaguars team. I loved that team. But wow. I mean, it's amazing how many games he's played. I mean, he has played at least 10 games in every single season of his career since 2006, except for 2014, when he only played in eight. I mean, that is stupid when you really think about it. But do you know how many receptions he had last year and he's garnering interest?
Yeah, I just said that. I said six for 66.
Yeah, but two of those six catches were for touchdowns.
There you go. Isn't
the whole reason that Aaron Rodgers is leaving the Packers is to like go to the talent that the Jets have?
Well, let's get it back to the Eagles because we've strayed very far from.
Anyway, Javon Hargrave's leaving, not ideal. T.J. Edwards was he not the first free agent, right?
He was the first, pretty much, yeah. So and definitely from the Eagles.
He's joined the Bears. This is not an NFC North show. I mean, I guess it was a moment ago with the Packers, but man, the fact that they got Tremaine Edmonds as well, like, and the Bears are just having a week, dude, like trading out of number one overall. Like, I am so happy for Matt Eberflus. Kind of round out the Eagles, because we have a lot to get to. Yep. Marcus Epps left for the Raiders and Andre Dillard left for the Titans. Hargrave's obviously the most impactful loss, most significant loss. If you had to rank them, again, relative to impactfulness, who's 2, 3, and 4 between Edwards, Epps, and Dillard?
I'd say Edwards maybe number one, Epps after that, and Dillard obviously is like indisputably last as a backup who wasn't going to play here and only played seven games, I think, or seven starts for the Eagles as a first-round pick. Not what you want, and I think that's a curious signing by Tennessee, but whatever. It helps towards the Eagles comp pick formula ultimately, so they'll take it. I think T.J. Edwards is the only deal from the deals that were handed out there that I kind of like would have done. If I were the Eagles, I think that's the, like, you look at the Hargrave one, you're like, okay, I understand why, you know, he didn't pay that, couldn't pay that. Epps probably a little bit overpaid. I think he ended up something as like the 20th safety or around there. With Edwards, part of the thing there is that he's from the Chicago area. So maybe that was a factor. Maybe there was similar money between Philly and Chicago, and he just wanted to go home and play for the Bears, where he grew up rooting for that team. So that's a bit of a surprise, and it's not like he got crazy money. The linebacker market has really not been, except for Edmonds, really, has really not been like insane. Mm-hmm. So kind of a bummer they lost him. But yeah, between Hargrave, Edwards, and Epps, that's three defensive starters. You know, James Bradbury and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson are still out there as of this record. It's very possible they lose both or at least one more. So, you know, again, it's not ideal. A lot of turnover. You have a new defensive coordinator here, new coaching staff in general, like new linebackers coach. You're going to have new cornerbacks coach. This is what always was in store for the Eagles this offseason. They're going to lose a lot of coaches and players.
One of the big time linebacker moves happened in the NFC East. We'll get there. But I would say the biggest like market driver, if there is one, is his teammate, Tremaine Edmonds. You know what I mean? Like that was kind of the whoa, he got paid thing as I fight off a sneeze. Man.
Really just let you suffer there.
I lost. Yeah, I lost to the sneeze. But I did hit mute at least. So shout out to me. I don't know that like, and I don't mean this in like a trolley way, but like, I don't know that there's a win for the Eagles yet in free agency. I mean, you know, you've brought back Chase and Kelsey. I think that's probably like the biggest win. That's the biggest like sigh of relief. The Brandon Graham thing, again, not in a disrespectful way at all. I think it's just kind of incidental. Like it's just kind of, okay, you know, cool. This makes sense.
It's good they didn't lose him. Yeah.
Right. And the losses were predictable, but they certainly still hurt. I think, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, as we get ready to move to the Cowboys, the last like kind of big, like, okay, we're waiting to see where this goes is the Chauncey Gardner-Johnson thing, right? Like if he leaves, then it's okay. Now we have to regroup whatever. If he leaves or if he stays, then it's like, okay, now we got this one. Let's move forward. We don't have to worry about this position. Oh, I guess the last thing, since you nodded and agreed with me again for the audio listeners, update on the Darius Slay thing. So since we last recorded, there was a report that he wanted out of Philly. I think the Philly Inquirer said this was probably as good as done, that he's probably definitely not going to return to the Eagles again. I don't want to, you know, speak and be wrong.
I don't know if Jeff McLean like would stand by that tweet. I think that was sent out a little bit like right after the news broke. And since then, I think it's very, not to say there's a 0% chance he gets traded, but my read on the situation, Slay said he did not request a trade, and he's also been transparent that he does want an extension. Now, I think the Eagles are kind of handling this where it's like, okay, if you want an extension, let's kind of gauge what that would be based on what the market would be. So Drew Rosenhaus, you have the permission to kind of go out there and see what other teams might pay you or your client, Darius Slay, and then like, so get some feedback in that regard and then come back to us and then maybe we can make something work. So we'll see how that works out. There is a chance, I guess, that the Eagles don't want to extend him and Slay does want the money and something has to happen. I just don't really think the Eagles really want to give Slay away because it only clears up like $3 million in cap space. And also, what are they going to get for him? I mean, Jalen Ramsey just went for a three and a player. Like, they're not going to get much for Slay. They only traded, I think, what, like 2/3 or whatever it was a few years ago for Slay. So I just don't really think there's going to be a big return. I just wanted to tie a bow in the conversation on the Eagles part here by mentioning that part of what is significant about the players they lost is that they have free agents at the other starting position at those positions, like Fletcher Cox, also still a free agent. Kaiser White, also still a free agent. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, as you mentioned, also a free agent. So, you know, in theory, there could be kind of some more pressure to sign some of these guys, or if you don't...
These players have like a new level of leverage, is what you're saying, like with these other players.
Potentially, if they, right. The Eagles want to keep them, but if not, then they need two new starters. And they do have some in-house options. Reed Blankenship is a candidate to start at safety. Jordan Davis, obviously, defensive tackle. Then N'Kobe Dean is the big player to watch at linebacker. So it's not like the cupboard is barren here, but the point is, like, Howie has a lot of work to do, and I don't think it was ever going to be at the top of the market, you know, signing big players. It's kind of going to have to be like being smart about doing bargain bin shopping and maybe looking for trades out there in the vein of a Chauncey Gardner-Johnson deal, a player who might be on like the last year or two of his deal and he's not going to resign with that team, so they're willing to deal him, so something like that.
Wow, so he's got work to do, but here he is toasting with Jason Kelce. I'm just
that was
slacking.
At the combine.
I mean, come on.
That was pre-recorded.
Geez, dude, it was
pre-recorded.
I know it's a joke.
No joking here.
I didn't see, but I was assuming somebody was going to like Google, I don't know if he said, but Google the bottle and see how much it was, like how, like what the worth of the bottle was. I have to imagine it was not cheap, but yeah. Hey. Okay. So my last question, then we'll get to the Cowboys. Who is one player who you, or, and it could be a re-signing, but one player who you hope has a deal with the Eagles this time next week?
Oh man.
Like, is there like, but you have to limit it to one. Like, is there like a wish list, like one player, again, whether it's a trade, external free agent signing, re-signing, like the one thing you, one player you want to have a locker at the Eagles facility that did not get a great by the NFLPA thing?
You know, to be honest, I don't have that. I'm not like, I don't think I'm mentally there yet from a standpoint of care. Like, I'm taking my, very much taking my time getting into caring about 2023, other than literally just doing the here and present and being there for that. But like, I can't say, wow, the Eagles got Bobby Wagner or John Johnson. I'm fired up. Let's go. Let's start the season right now. Like, no, I still need some time with it. So
I don't care at all. I was just up from 4 a.m. to midnight for no reason whatsoever.
I'm working here.
Okay.
I'm in the present. I'm just saying I can't look to the future yet.
The Dallas Cowboys, once again, it's Tuesday. Now it's 12:20 p.m. Central Standard Time, have lost three players. Unlike the Eagles, the Cowboys do have a player on the franchise tag. So do the New York Giants. Like I said, we'll get to them. But Tony Pollard was tagged. That happened before the episode last week, obviously. Not a shock, not a surprise in any way, shape, or form. The Cowboys did get on the board with another returnee. I mean, you can call Pollard a returnee. Was technically going to be a free agent. And the tag is whatever it is. It goes in its own unique category. But about an hour and a half before we started this recording, safety Donovan Wilson agreed to return to the Cowboys on a 3-year, $24 million deal. The exact numbers aren't totally in yet, but it kind of looks like a 2-year deal. It seems like all the guarantees are in the first 2 years. It felt like the Cowboys were going to lose Donovan. They gave both Jayron Kearse and Malik Hooker each a 2-year deal a year ago in free agency. This is a Cowboys team that historically has not really devoted any kind of serious resource to the safety position. Yet here we are in back-to-back off seasons with three different players getting a second contract with the team. Donovan Wilson was a sixth-round draft pick in 2019, in case anybody is unaware. Which means the Cowboys now have two players from that draft class who got a second deal with the team in him and Tony Pollard. That was the draft where they didn't have their first, obviously, with the Amari Cooper trade. But this was big. I mean, this was really, really big. He's the tone setter for the defense, tone setter on the back end. He led the team in tackles. I don't put a lot of stock into that, but some people do. So this was a big, big, big get. The other big fish, kind of like I guess, like flapping in the ocean, is Leighton Vander Esch. So we'll see if the Cowboys are able to retain him. To your point, though, the linebacker market kind of working out for Dallas in that sense. Maybe he's not, you know, hearing an offer he really likes. But Donovan Wilson coming back, they have lost, as of this moment, three players. Connor McGovern, he is one of two Connor McGoverns who was a free agent this offseason, is headed to the Buffalo Bills. Looks like he's in line to start there. Luke Gifford also headed to Tennessee, so joining Andre Dillard there, kind of a special teams player for Dallas. And Noah Brown, who was an amazing return on investment. It was a seventh-round draft pick in 2017, really just kind of stuck around, fought his way. It's not his fault that the Cowboys relied on him too much this past season, but he is now leaving to join the Houston Texans. So they're down three players. And I don't think anybody's like devastated by the three that they've lost at this point.
How would you grade the Wilson deal?
Well, it's funny you asked that because we actually have a poll at blogontheboys.com in the article.
It's almost like I knew that.
Yeah. I mean, I put letter grades on the poll. So like there was no like plus or minus. Like I have no problem giving it an A minus, B plus situation. Okay. I mean, like, if I don't like, it's impossible to do like an A plus sort of, like I would give the Dolphins trading of Jalen Ramsey an A plus, you know what I mean? Just because it's so little for an elite player, but some of that is like circumstantial. Like he wanted to play for the Dolphins specifically. So, I mean, again, if I'm like being super picky, it's like, maybe you could have paid a tad less, but he's such an important player to this team and to this defense. I do think that had Dan Quinn left, he would have followed him. Donovan would have, at least. I mean, they are very, very tied together. It's Dan Quinn who's been all about, you know, this utilization of three safeties and that's, you know, like dropping them down, you know, kind of playing some linebacker. And so Donovan Wilson is a very important piece in his defense. So I'm happy to see that he's returning. Plus he went to Texas A&M. So he's a wise man.
To kind of oversimplify evaluating, I guess, safeties and linebackers sometimes, like these defensive playmakers, because I think a lot of it goes into like name recognition and that can kind of get lost. Whereas like, I want to see plays being made. Like, let's look at the interception numbers. Let's look at the forced fumble numbers. You know, I guess you can throw sacks in there. He had five last year. And, you know, he's decent in that regard. Had an interception last year, had two forced fumbles and five sacks. So, and seven TFLs as well, nine quarterback hits. I'm looking at the safety money. He's at $8 million a year, right?
It depends on how you look at it. I mean, like I'm saying, we don't have the full
details. Well, it was three details for 24, right?
Technically, but they hang on. I'm pulling up the exact. So it's three for
for context,
up to 24.
That puts him like above Marcus May, who is was at 7.5 last year. It's around just like Tracy Walker.
Just for context, the first 2 years are fully guaranteed at 13.5. So you could kind of call it like almost seven. You know what I mean? Like again, because again, the details aren't out, but they probably have an out after that second year, which is important for context.
It's a market rate quarterback for our contract, sorry, for a player of his position, is what I would say.
It's a big
deal. It's not a bargain. It's not an overpay. It's just it's what the market would dictate he's paid.
Among defensive backs against the run last year, this is according to our friends at True Media, he finished eighth in terms of tackles on designed rushing plays. The top two were Jalen Petrie and Jonathan Owens, so both Houston Texans. Richie Grant third, Grant Delpit fourth, Buda Baker fifth, Rashawn Jenkins sixth, Derwin James sixth. There was a tie for sixth, sorry. Donovan Wilson eighth. I mean, that's his thing, like, is just chaos. Again, I call him the tone setter. Like, he's not a ball hawking. Who is a ball hawking safety? Like, there's no Ed Reed in the NFL right
now. Brian Dawkins.
Okay. Okay. There's no Ed Reed in the NFL right now. Like that's what he is. He is a thumper. Like he is there to just inflict pain and havoc. And that's what I think he does well.
Well, it's a family show. I don't know why you would need to say that, but he had a 69, speaking of family show, 69 passer rating allowed last season. So that's a number you'd like to see.
He, I feel he like anecdotally in was pass it, coverage. It was not great early on in his career.
I could be wrong, but I feel like Devontae was working him in that second Cowboys game. Am I wrong?
I mean,
that?
I feel like the Cowboys were getting worked in pass coverage in general. But that's, again, I'm not paying Donovan Wilson for his pass coverage abilities. That's, you know, what I think is important to note here. Any of these losses, are you like, yes, the Cowboys lost Connor McGovern?
I'm really glad we don't have to see Luke Gifford again in Philly. That's a big deal.
Connor McGovern is an interesting thing. I mentioned Tyron Smith. So it seems like he is going to return. That's still not official. The Cowboys have restructured three contracts, by the way, at present time. They have restructured Dak Prescott's deal. He's also in line for an extension, which will obviously also help massage the salary cap situation. They've also restructured Zach Martin's deal, and most recently, Michael Gallup's. They have not touched Tyron yet. That does feel like a domino that will fall at some point. But with Connor McGovern out, he was their starting left guard for most of the season, obviously with Tyler Smith playing left tackle. So the presumed starting lineup left to right is Tyron, Tyler, and then the rest is normal. Tyler Biadasz, Zach Martin, Terrence Steele, who the Cowboys were saying will be ready for training camp. They did place a second round tender on him, by the way. Now the question becomes is what happens if and when Tyron, or anyone for that matter, but Tyron gets hurt. Okay, well, Tyler kicks out to left tackle. Who's playing left guard? They don't have any real... That's what Connor McGovern was. He was some interior depth for them, and so they don't have that anymore, so that's a position they'll have to address either later on in free agency or throughout the draft.
Yep. A very juicy free agency to this point as we're recording this for the Eagles and Cowboys in terms of additions.
Is there a juicy, right before we break, is there a juicy like thing in across the entire NFL? Like, is there something that you were like, whoa, this league?
Not really. I mean,
yeah,
the Rodgers Ramsey is thing? The thing that's dominating the headlines nationally.
The Rodgers thing is so insignificant though. Like, it's so predictable that it's boring.
Well, I mean, you should be happy about it considering that.
I was mentioning this earlier, and then you were like, let's get back to the Eagles. But the NFC East plays the AFC. Well,
I agree. I'm not trying to bring it up.
By the way, the Minnesota Vikings have restructured Kirk Cousins' contract.
I saw that.
He's not going anywhere. So shout out to Kirk.
Great. Good. Wow. Keep him in the conference.
Let's take a break, and then we will talk about the quarterback that Kirk Cousins lost to in the playoffs.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome back. While we were gone, Brandon, you told me something that I should make in my new grill that was not pulled pork or salmon. And what was that thing that you said?
I think you should make a grilled pizza.
I actually really want to do that. Like, there are people who do that. And I thought about, I guess this is appropriate for today, but like baking a pie in there. Like, I don't see why you couldn't. So I've seen people do some cinnamon roll stuff. So I had a pizza the other day that you said actually looked good. I got the BLG seal of approval.
When was that? What was that?
I posted it on my Instagram story, and it was at Pyology, not a sponsor.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It was real. You know what was the difference maker? For anyone who's unaware, Pyology is kind of like a Subway for pizzas. Like, you go in and you just like, I want this, I want that, or whatever.
Well, I did say, quote, actually looks solid, ?
That, right. Well, I mean, that's a compliment in BLG's language. I went fresh jalapenos. That was a huge difference. Like, I mean, I was so pumped when I first saw the pickled ones, and I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. And then I saw the fresh ones. I was like, no way, I can't do it. I got to go fresh ones. And it was like, every bite was like a splash. It was amazing.
I think jalapeno just is the, I've said this before, but I'll say it again. I just think it's the perfect combination of heat and flavor. It just has everything you want. It's just, it's the right level. And that, I think that's such a key when it comes to spicy food, is getting that right balance. Cause you can't just be hot. Because anyone can make just some anything that's like super hot. Mm-hmm. But that's not the point. It's supposed to be the balance of heat and flavor. I think the jalapeno typically does a really good execution of that. And I think, I don't know, I haven't had this. I think I've had it before. Oh, wait, am I thinking of this right? I'm thinking of, like, I think I've definitely had a jalapeno and pepperoni pizza, but I was thinking I might want to try a jalapeno and pineapple pizza. I'm not like a big pineapple on pizza guy, but I want to try that combination and see if it's any good.
So this was what I put on my pizza, just for perspective, pizza perspective. Maybe I deleted the picture. I would be upset if I did. It was really kind of a great day. We took my son to get his first haircut, and then it was right next door, so we like got the haircut and pizza. So I put pepperoni. I put onion. I got some heat from people for putting onion on there. I put spinach leaves.
It's not something I would do, but
I could have done without the spinach leaves in retrospect, but they looked good in the aisle. I should have put some shallots, but I didn't. I put bacon, grilled chicken, pepperoni, the jalapeno, and I think that was it.
So it was a supreme pizza, basically.
My my friend Noah had a take that I'm curious if you agree with. Here's the pizza for anyone who's curious.
That looks good.
He said a low-key great sign that a pizza is delicious is that it's misshaped, like that it's not perfectly round. I thought that was a really excellent point.
I mean, sort of, yeah. I think there's some truth to that because it's
I'm not saying it's like a blanket, you know, fact, but like it's kind of a fun little thing.
Yep. Also, sauce on top, cheese on the bottom.
Also, gonna do jalapeno poppers in the grill.
I love a jalapeno popper.
Yeah. Okay. Congratulations to you, Brandon. You were right. Rachelle and I were wrong. She and I both thought that Daniel Jones would be playing, or at least would be on the franchise tag at this time when we had the prediction portion of last week's show. You said that he would have a new deal. He did get one. 4 years, $160 million. Am I doing that math right? Yeah. 4 years, $160 million, $40 million a year. He's making exactly what Dak Prescott is making currently. A lot of people had a lot of takes on this. We're here to talk free agency, but I think we have to offer some thoughts up here at least. My take is I understand that Daniel Jones is not even, you know, whoever. I mean, like he's, I don't know, maybe like that 11th, 12th best quarterback in the NFL. Who cares? Like this is market rate. Like if you want that guy, you have to pay more. Like I don't understand. I understand that like we want to have fun and we want to make our jokes and get dunks off or whatever, but like this makes sense for the Giants to do. And they were able to retain Saquon Barkley, who, spoiler alert, is on the tag himself. So like this is a win for the Giants as far as I'm concerned.
I think I'm kind of maybe a little bit closer to where you are than where everyone was dunking on it. I get why Eagles fans would have that opinion because they've really never, at least last year, they haven't really necessarily struggled to beat Daniel Jones. I know he's beaten them in the past, but it's not like he had like great games. Like some of those games he didn't even play well. So like from an Eagles perspective, there's no fear of him. And it does on the surface seem a little crazy that right now he does have the 7th highest paid annual value, tied with Dak, as you mentioned, and Matt Stafford.
That'll be like 10th or 11th when the regular season starts.
Yeah, maybe, you know, with Burrow and Hurts, and we'll see what happens with Lamar and everything, and Herbert.
And a Dak extension.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say, but I feel like people are acting like it's an F-minus move, and I don't think it's that, and I think that's what you're also saying. I don't think it's an A-plus move either. It's somewhere in between.
It's
there.
A B.
I mean, I do think like we haven't necessarily seen the best of Daniel Jones. You have to consider the Giants were considerably banged up last year. Like they were like, I just remember following along with their injury reports. I check out all the NFC East SB Nation blogs every day, and I put those links in the link post each morning. And I just remember seeing like, this guy's hurt. I mean, they got so banged up at wide receiver specifically, a position they entered the season very thin to begin with. Like they're playing like Marcus Johnson out there, who was on the Eagles practice squad once upon a time. Like they weren't working with a ton. And then the offensive line has obviously been a huge work in progress throughout the years. So I think it's possible that I think Daniel Jones played reasonably well relative to what he could have done. Like what more did you really want him to do? He went out and he won a playoff game on the road. Like it doesn't mean I think the Giants are going to win the Super Bowl anytime soon. And I've said before, this is a big kind of fork in the road offseason for them in terms of needing to make these decisions. And then we'll see if they can actually support Daniel Jones with like a difference making wide receiver that could kind of boost him the way that certainly AJ Brown has helped boost Jalen Hurts. So can they do all that? That remains to be seen. But I don't think this is the worst path they could have taken. But I also don't think, again, like, oh no, I'm scared of Daniel Jones and the Giants.
I agree with that entirely. Like, I mean, and if we call it a B move, right? I mean, people are like, well, it's not an A plus, so it's stupid. It's like, whoa, like, you know, chill out a little bit. Like, so all told, great move, I think, for the Giants contextually with their situation with Brian Daboll, with where they're at, understanding.
Like, what else were they supposed to do? Like, what did you want them to do?
Jimmy Garoppolo?
I don't know.
I mean, like
trade for Lamar? Stupid. Like, that's not a guarantee anyway, because the offer sheet, like, and then you can't just base your offseason around that, because they had to make decisions making Saquon. Like, I don't know.
I'm going to read you a tweet that I just saw. I mean, this is kind of a, like, react to stuff as it's happening episode. You're going to love this. ESPN's Diana Russini just tweeted, Aaron Rodgers has provided the New York Jets with a wish list of free agents he would like them to target and acquire per sources. It includes Randall Cobb, Alan Lazard, Mercedes Lewis, and Odell Beckham Jr.
Wow. Odell Beckham Jr. He's finally going to sign with the team after 150 billion stories on him. Wow.
I mean, what, like, again, I don't mean to keep making this about this, but, like, what's the, like, do you not like Garrett Wilson? Like, do you not like Denzel Mims? Like, you know, do you not like Elijah Moore? Like, what's,
well, I don't think Denzel Mims should be a factor.
I mean, but, like, still, like, if Alan Lazard is a factor, you know what I mean? Like, it can't, like, this is just, I don't know. This is an interesting time in the NFL. So, anyway, so Giants kept Daniel Jones, long-term deal done. Saquon Barkley got the tag. I feel like that's just kind of, it is what it is. They're bringing Sterling Shepard back. They're bringing Gerard Davis back. They're bringing Jamie Gillen back, their punter. They have two outside additions so far, at least that we saw when we were doing our notes for the show. Raheem Nunez-Roches from the Buccaneers, and the big one, Bobby Okereke from the Indianapolis Colts. So they are looking to strengthen that defense, which has not been great in recent seasons.
I do think Bobby Okereke is their best linebacker since who? Like, I mean, I guess you could say Blake Martinez in there, but I don't know. That is short-lived. It's on a really bad team. I'm trying to think, okay, and if it's him, what about before that? Like, who was the last good Giants linebacker? Lawrence Taylor? I don't know. It's been a long time. Maybe I'm forgetting someone from the Super Bowl runs. I don't know. I don't think this guy, Bobby Okereke, it is, right? Mm-hmm. Okereke. It's a tough name to look at and then not want me to botch when
it's one of those, I'm so happy that Jimmy Garoppolo has never played for the Cowboys. Like, I always forget how to spell it. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Okereke is up there.
It's too. One R, two P's, I think, for Garoppolo.
I think that's correct.
But that took a long time for me as well. Yeah, I mean, again, so what did I say earlier about Donovan Wilson? It comes down to, I want to see a guy who makes plays. Okay, so he has 3 career interceptions in 64 games. Not amazing. Didn't have any last year. What about 4 fumbles? Had 2 last year. Okay, has 4 in his career. Not amazing, but not terrible. I saw he was good relatively. He's always been kind of good in coverage. Only 91.3 pass rating allowed. Previous years were at 94.9, 89.7, 97.3. So he's always been decent in that area. His missed tackle percentage is also relatively low. So again, I don't think this is an A-plus signing for them, but I think it's a solid addition, and it's the best linebacker they've had, I feel like, in quite some time. That's been a constant issue for them for years. Just like they've had no pass rush, just like they've had no offensive line. Linebacker has been a position where they've just been, like, totally weak, and Eagles have been able to take advantage of it. That was, like, a huge exploit going into the playoff game. It was like, Dallas Goedert's going to have a big game because they don't have any linebackers who can cover him. Now maybe they do.
I mean, just to use the same measurement that I used when you talked about Donovan Wilson. So this is, again, according to True Media, this is tackles on design rushing plays this past season, but I just sorted it by linebackers only. Number one is Roquan Smith. I don't think that's a shock. Number two is Rashawn Evans. Jordan Brooks is third. Drew Tranquil is also tied for third. Zaire Franklin, also from the Colts, is fifth. Foy Olukun from the Jaguars was sixth. And Bobby Okereke tied with Nick Bolton at seventh. I mean, again, like, I'm not like, boom, trump card, whatever. But, like, you know, the fact that you've got 2 Colts linebackers here, kind of like you had 2 Colts defensive backs. I'm sorry, 2 Texans defensive backs. Like, a lot of teams running up against the Colts, right? Like, you know, you get up to early leads and it's like, let's just run the ball. So, like, you're naturally going to have more tackles. But still, like, that's, I mean, if that's what their priority is, like, he's good at that. You know what I mean? So I think this is a good move. I think the Giants have I think like the jury's a little bit out on the Eagles and the Cowboys right now, right? As far as free agency is concerned, I think the Giants are objectively better. I think they still need to add some playmaking, you know, players on offense, but they had to take care of Jones and Barkley first. That was, you know, a big priority. So if they can add, you know, okay, cool, Sterling Shepard, but like, you know, we finally saw the receiver market, you know, see a domino. I've said the phrase domino fall a lot this episode, but Jacoby Myers signed or agreed to terms today on Tuesday. So like, where's Mecole Hardman going to end up? Like, where are all these other players going to end up? Like, if the Giants can get some sort of infusion of talent on offense, and like, you know, this is a division that hasn't had a repeat champion since 2004. And like, I don't see why the Giants can't be in the mix for that. Like, I feel way less confident in the idea of regression coming from them the way I thought I would feel. You know what I'm saying? And we kind of felt that way midseason, right? We said, like, are they really going to blow this? Are they really going to fall apart when they kind of like stop the skid and they, you know, establish themselves? So I think they're better than they were when the season ended.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. And again, for any kind of regression working against them, I think they're due for some in terms of luck. Like I said, injury luck specifically and what they had there. I don't know what they're going to do at receiver, because I think they need that guy, that difference kind of making, or at least someone who is approaching that. And it doesn't feel like that's really going to be out there for them in free agency. And I don't really, I think I've said this before, I don't think you can just rely on, oh, we'll get someone in the late first and that'll be the guy. I mean, it could happen in theory, but I don't think that's like a good plan. It can't be your plan. It can't be just like, we're going to draft a receiver and he's going to be awesome from the jump. Right. That is not a good strategy to take. I feel like it has to be trade, but I don't know who that would be. Maybe it would be, maybe he's a little bit too old for their timeline, but DeAndre Hopkins, maybe it's something like that. But I think Daniel Jones needs that kind of guy.
You didn't ask me the question that I asked you, like, who's the one like person or player, or whatever you want, like trade, whatever. DeAndre Hopkins is my answer for the Cowboys. Like, you trade for DeAndre Hopkins, like you send a day two pick. Cool. Like, I'm very happy. You know what I mean? Like, at that point, like, we can figure, like, from a Cowboys angle, it's like, you got CeeDee Lamb, you got DeAndre Hopkins, you know, like, to your point, like, if you're just, even if you draft, like, one, like, I would love for the Cowboys to draft, like, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, right? I've talked about that. But, like, even if you're the Giants and you draft JSN, it's like, okay, well, that, there's still a lot of question there, right? Like, you don't know how great he's going to be right away. He needs help. So, like, that situation is a little bit different. But, like, as opposed to the Cowboys hypothetical line weaving, it's like, you have CeeDee Lamb and DeAndre Hopkins, you can figure everything out. Like, that's enough of a base to sort of build around. So
right.
That's my answer. We'll see where Hop ends up, though. Are we ready to move on to the Giants? I'm sorry, the Commanders.
Yep.
Okay, so they we mentioned how TJ Edwards was the first free agent to agree to terms with the new team. Daron Payne was the first player to receive the franchise tag this offseason, but it no longer exists because he agreed to terms or already established a long-term contract with the team, making more money than any defensive tackle not named Aaron Donald. Pretty big deal.
It's a very big deal, and it was a deal that once I saw that happen, it was like, well, this is definitely – goodbye to Javon Hargrave, because I knew Hargrave was getting more than that money. I don't know how I totally feel about this, because they kind of dragged their feet on Payne for a bit there. It feels like, you know, they were talking about contract for a while, and then they had to end up using the tag. And like, it's a good player, but is he worth this kind of money? Is he that level of a difference? Like, how many, like, fans of non-Commanders teams, like, how is it, how many times are you like, wow, we really need to stop Daron Payne?
I mean, I think we've had that conversation, like, when the Cowboys or Eagles have been playing them, it's like, what are you most worried about? It's like, Daron Payne, you know. But, and like, some of that is just like, they don't have a lot of other things, right? But like, I mean,
well, you would say that. I would say John Allen before Daron Payne.
Okay, so like, Daron Payne is at worst the second best player on that team, third best. Maybe if you think Terry McLaurin's a better receiver than you think, oh, Daron, it's like,
yeah,
I think Daron Payne is a better defensive tackle than I think Terry McLaurin is a receiver. And that's because I think very highly of Terry McLaurin. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think Daron Payne.
Why do you think that?
I think he's one of the best defensive tackles in the NFL.
What is he good at?
I mean, what do you mean? Like, that's such a, like, he is like, I'm pulling,
you can't
this
answer up. The question.
Well, hang on. I'm buying myself time to pull this, yeah,
you're
up.
Trying to look up the numbers.
Well, why would you not do that?
Doesn't matter.
I happen to have this update.
He has
right now.
Zero forced fumbles in the last 2 years. Okay, he's coming off 11.5 sack season, so that's pretty good. He did make the Pro Bowl, but like, that's like, it's a career year. Like, that's the thing, though. They were reluctant to kind of pay him before that. He goes out, he kind of performs in this, what was it, fifth year option year kind of he played on, mm-hmm. he goes out. Like, are they paying for? Is he truly ascending? Are they paying for past performance? He's only entering his age 26 season, so that is a good thing. But I don't know. Again, I don't think this is like. I mean, you paid premium price. Is this a premium player?
But I mean, I think it's kind of Daniel Jones-ish. Like, what was the alternative? You know what I mean? Like, that is if Washington has
difference though. Like, you have to have a quarterback.
If Washington has a strength, it's the interior of their defensive line, right? Like, and maybe wide receivers like on the way of challenging that with McLaurin and Jahan Dotson, right? But like, the strength is inarguably the interior of their defensive line. And it was kind of like what propelled them to that division title, that fluky one, albeit in 2020. Like, that's what they have. Like, that's their one thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, so what you're saying is like, hey, you're a pizza shop. Why aren't you making burgers? Why aren't you making chicken tenders? They're like, Brandon, we're making pizza pies. It's National Pie Day. You wanted pizza pie with fresh jalapeno. This is what we got. This is what we're good at. We're sticking to it.
He is the second highest paid defensive tackle now, only behind Aaron Donald, and way behind Aaron Donald, by the way.
Literally the words I said when I started this conversation.
Aaron Donald at 31.7. Crazy. And then Daron Payne is at 22.5. As I said. But like, I just wonder, how much are you putting into this past season? Like, is he definitely the player he was this past season and not the player in the first 4 years of his career where he only had 5 sacks and then he only had 2 sacks, then he only had 3 sacks, and then he only had 4.5 sacks. He has this big jump in a contract year. I just like, are you paying for the outlier season? I guess that's what I'm asking, what I'm wondering.
Maybe. I don't have a problem with this. I mean, they had the flexibility, you know. Maybe you prefer they move forward on the tag, but whatever. Like, I don't think this is worth like freaking. I'm not saying you're freaking out, but I don't think this is worth like having a passionate take against. Something I know that you feel passionate about. The Commanders actually have what now? They have 4 new players because they also brought back David Mayo and Danny Johnson. So they claimed Cameron Dantzler from the Minnesota Vikings. They signed Nick Gates from the Giants. They signed Cody Barton from the Seahawks, but notably, they signed a tackle who did not allow a single sack in the Super Bowl, in Andrew Wiley. Wow, what a get.
Yeah, I mean, this is a bad move, in my opinion. He, Andrew Wiley allowed the 4th most sacks in the NFL last year. Had the game of his life, apparently, in the Super Bowl.
It can be true that he had the game of his life. Like, in addition to other things being true.
What is the more likely thing? That he had the game of his life or
you or I could have performed the same way he did during the Super Bowl.
I just think it was very apparent that Hassan Reddick was slipping and sliding out there. Hassan Reddick, who had 19.5 sacks.
Pull up the box score and the game log for that game. How many sacks?
Suddenly got shut down entirely.
Did you see his t-shirt at the parade? 0 sacks.
By Andrew Wiley, who allowed the 4th most sacks in the NFL among offensive tackles last season. I just have a little bit of a tough time believing that is truly the case. So yeah, I really don't love that addition for them because I think he was a weak point. The Chiefs are clearly not like, we're not dying to keep him. So yeah, I think that is not the best move. And
so hold up. What if, because he plays for the Commanders now, and so Eagles get to play him in Philly, right?
All right, we'll see.
No, but what if Hassan Reddick doesn't have a single sack against him in Philly?
Well, on the flip side, what if he has like a bunch and then it's like, oh wow, well, this okay. does prove well, everything.
Well, so like, but what if he has none? That was my question. That was my first question.
Well, then I guess that'll speak to Andrew Wiley owning Hassan Reddick. But if Reddick has a ton, then again, that proves that the field was a huge factor and it was garbage, and I don't want to relive that.
Wow. Shout out to Andrew Wiley.
Their offensive line now, by the way, now is Charles Leno at left tackle, Andrew Norwell at left guard, Chase Roullier at center, Sam Cosmi at right guard, and then Wiley at right tackle.
Could be worse. So, I mean, like, it's could be worse. Solid.
Some old guys in there. Like, Charles Leno is above 30, right? I think so is Norwell. So that's something to keep an eye on.
I don't know what I make of the fact that, like, so the Jimmy Garoppolo stuff happens. He's going to Vegas, whatever. But, like, it was just the Raiders and Texans that he was connected to, right? And we haven't seen, correct me if I'm wrong, we haven't seen any other, like, starting caliber quarterbacks. I know, you know, obviously Derek Carr already signed, but, like, that's it, right? Carr and Garoppolo are the only kind of like starters that have found new homes. Is that correct? I'm forgetting somebody. Right. So Mike how White. Have that's true. How have none of them been connected to the Commanders? Like, are they really, truly this in on Sam Howell?
I think so, which is kind of weird. I was thinking about this.
Right. Like, this morning. How are they not, like, how are they not connected? Like, even in the mix for the free agent quarterback options.
Did you mention Heinicke is gone? I feel like you should have mentioned that.
No, I'm getting to that point. But so okay. Taylor Heinicke left for the I was super bummed for Taylor Heinicke because he joined the Atlanta Falcons. So he can't ever beat them now. So he can't get Jordans in those. Those are the best colors to get Jordans in, the Falcons colors, right? Like, you know, red, black, and white. So now he can't get them.
Wow, devastating. I was thinking how weird it is from a timeline standpoint for Rivera that you're kind of just like, you know what I mean? Because he needs to win, you would think, right? He's like approaching the end of his deal. And now like we're just going to put the eggs in the basket of Sam Howell, who I think, you know, okay, some intrigue there, some level of promise, but it's not a situation where you would want to put all your eggs in that basket. You could put a couple in there. But I don't think you want to put a majority of them even, but I guess they probably just feel burned by the Wentz thing. They don't want to go the veteran route again. I don't know.
That's even so. Jameis Winston's returning to New Orleans. And I'm not saying like had they signed Jameis Winston, it's like, oh, boom, you're in business. But like, how are you not connected to anybody here? Like,
yeah, Jacoby Brissett, to sign maybe? Someone, right?
That's what I'm saying. Like how is there nobody that is, you know, in the
Baker.
Mix?
Baker would be like, I think, a good guy for them to take a chance. Not, that's I don't think it would work out, but like that kind of like, they have to take a flyer on someone. I guess, like, what else are they going to do? They're just going to unequivocally ride with Sam Howell. Like, I hate when teams do this kind of thing where it's like, well, he looked promising in one game, so he's just a starter now. Like, there's no question, there's no bad doubts about it. That was what happened once upon a time, other situations, many, to be clear, not just this, but like Nick Foles in 2012, when, you know, I don't even think he played all that well as a rookie, and it was like, well, Foles is the guy now. It's like, well, wait, well, definitely, for sure, just because he's here, like, that he has to be the guy. And then sure enough, it worked out for 2013, but then whatever, don't to relitigate the whole thing. But I feel like even like someone like Trevor Siemian or Brock Osweiler, it's like, well, he's the guy, he's definitely the guy. It's like, well, what if he's not good though? Is there any kind of backup plan? It feels like there should be some kind of exit strategy here in case he might not be good. And it doesn't really seem like currently the Commanders are going for that, but we'll see. If they added Brissett, I think that would be a decent enough signing. Eagles, by the way, so to be interested in Jacoby Brissett.
I'm looking at Greg Rosenthal's top free agents list that has obviously been whittled down a bit with, you know, new deals being agreed to over at NFL.com. Who do you think the top three quarterbacks are on his list specifically?
Mariota, Minshew, and I don't know. Who else?
No, Minshew's actually fourth. I'm just scrolling down, and Baker's fifth. So number the best, and again, this is just his list. Best available Jacoby quarterback at the Jacoby's number one. Teddy Bridgewater is number two.
Teddy stinks. Why do people think he's good? He sucks.
Okay,
he
it's not my list.
He's not a good player. But he's just terrible. He's an awful player, and people think he's good. Well, he can't stay healthy.
Number two. Number three is Andy Dalton. Like, that's the thing. Like, that's kind of the last one that, like, you know, of the names that we just mentioned. So they're Jacoby, Teddy, Andy, Gardner, and Baker. Andy's the one with the most experience as a starter in the NFL, right? And the most experience, like, also the most recent experience, right? Like, I know Gardner started a few games last year. Baker obviously has a little bit, but Andy started a lot. I don't know how many games did Andy Dalton start for the Saints last year. It's got to be like at least 10. You know what I mean? So
I don't know. Eight, 10.
Yeah, so my point is, like, that's the dude. Like, I mean, like, you got to have somebody right now. It's got to be somebody who has – you seriously – to your point, like, the Brock Osweiler example, the Nick Foles example, which kind of worked out again. But, like, you're going to – like, well, Sam Howell, he kind of played well in that one game that the Cowboys were not really trying all the way in. Like, so we have to totally believe that this is the way it's going to be and it's going to work out. Like, what? Like, how – like, that cannot be the plan. The only thing that, like, redeems them in my mind – isn't even Dalton. If you pull off the Lamar trade, okay, now, you know, fine. We'll respect you a little bit. There. I'm just saying, like, that's the only, like, thing. Like, people are over here like, well, what are the Jets going to do if Aaron Rodgers doesn't go there? What are the Commanders going to do? Like, would you rather have Zach Wilson or Sam Howell? I know that's a stupid question, but, like, that's, the Commanders are in the same boat, but they're just not getting dragged as much.
I do think, but I don't think Dalton fits. They need someone who they, at least in theory, like Baker, you can talk yourself into, okay, maybe he still has the potential to be a franchise quarterback. Maybe, probably not, but maybe. Dalton clearly doesn't. The answer is just automatic no on that. Maybe I would not, again, base your plan around, like, going out of your way to get Zach Wilson, but if you could get him on the cheap, hey, how about this one? Matt Corral, apparently he might be available for not too much. The Panthers obviously not going to be having him as their starting quarterback. I would take a flyer on him if I'm the Commander. You have to bring someone else into the building who, like, might have the potential to be a franchise quarterback.
And that person's not out there. That's what I'm saying. Like, and the options are running
straight for him.
No, but, like, the options are running thin. Like, okay, so Matt Corral and Sam Howell is your plan? You know what I mean? In like a
amazing, like, but it's better than just Sam Howell.
But that's like a, oh, well, it's not an amazing plan if you're, I don't know, if you're Kevin O'Connell, like, if you have that level of job security. But to the point, it's like Ron Rivera, you're going to bet, like, and it's not just, like, maybe your last year in Washington. Like, it's very difficult to get a third job as a head coach in the NFL, which is what Ron Rivera would be trying to do if he wanted to coach again. And so, like, and like, I think it would be difficult for Mike McCarthy to get a third job. And that's because he has a Super Bowl ring, right? Like, you know, Ron Rivera doesn't even have that. I understand he lost one, incidentally, to the team that Brock Osweiler helped get there. By the way, nice full circle job by me. But yeah, I mean, like, that cannot be your plan. And, like, you're also running out of options. Speaking of Matt Corral, because the Panthers traded up to number one overall. The Texans need a quarterback. The Colts need a quarterback. Like, yes, there are, like, five quarterbacks in the draft that are would-be options, but, like, you're no longer, like, in a situation where, like, you can trade up to four or five or whatever, or you're going to have to pay a ridiculous amount for, like, the fourth or fifth prospect, and then, like, what happens? I mean, it's a really and they've let this happen to themselves. Like, I don't feel bad for them, obviously, but, like, dude, you got to do something. You cannot do this with Sam Howell. Again, like, who would you rather have? That's my question. Straight up, Zach Wilson or Sam Howell right now?
Sam Howell.
But tell me if I'm wrong. Your answer is based purely because Sam Howell is, like, a mostly unknown thing. You're like, oh, right, I will exactly. I will take the mystery door. I don't even know what's behind it. But, like, that is not a redeeming quality. Like, just because you're a complete. Well,
it's also personality stuff too with Wilson. Sure. Like, there's just too much there to say. Like, I think there's massive Lucha energy there. Whereas with Howell, I don't know enough about him. I guess to your point, but I will at least give me the chance.
Yeah, I'm gonna be bummed if we have to see, like, an Andy Dalton Commanders team or, like, a Gardner Minshew Commanders team. Like, nobody wants to see that. Like, it's just nobody wants. Even Sam Darnold would have been, like, a pulse. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would have respected bit.
This is the 49ers signed him, right? I thought he was still out there for a second. Yeah.
No, but I said this before the Eagles traded for Gardner Minshew. That's the archetype of backup quarterback I love. The young guy, you know, still like mid-20s, late-20s, whatever, yeah, who has a lot of NFL starts. What was your question?
He's like, sorry, go ahead. He's 25. Like that's crazy.
That's what I'm saying. How many career starts does Sam Darnold have? I'm going to guess it's like 40.
Hendon Hooker in the draft this year is like 25.
Yeah, like, how many career starts does Sam? I know you're looking it up, but, like, I'm going to guess it's like
Darnold
40.
Start?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't look that up, but it's okay, probably.
Well, I'm going to look it up because I'm curious now. He's 25 years old. Sam Darnold has how many career starts?
I'm looking at the.
He has 55 career starts. That is an elite move from San Francisco. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, you got to, like, I'm not saying I think Sam Darnold's awesome, but, like, in a pinch, which is what the Eagles were in this past season, what the Cowboys were in this past season, the Cowboys got really lucky. Obviously, the Cooper Rush worked out. But, like, if you have to have somebody come in and play, like, 3 to 6 games, Mike White is now that dude. Granted, he took a path that was very different than Sam Darnold, but, like, I love that archetype of backup quarterback. But, like, at this point, if you're the Commanders, that archetype is not your backup quarterback. You need that archetype just to contend with your rookie who has started one game in the NFL, which was against a team that treated it in, like, a half-ass way.
I love how you're just trying to cover up for that loss. The quarterbacks of the backup variety are getting paid. a decent amount. I brought up Mike White earlier. He got like $8 million over 2 years, $60 million total, $8 million per year.
Well, think about the quarterbacks. Think about the playoff teams in the NFL this past season. The Eagles obviously relied on their backup quarterback to a legitimate degree. The Cowboys did as well. The 49ers obviously did. The Chiefs didn't this past season, but their first Super Bowl season, they did
in the playoffs against the
Jags. That's true. But they did for a little stretch. The first Super Bowl season was my point.
I'm not trying to say that it's
and like the Dolphins were a playoff team. Like, they're the team who needed Mike White is my point. I know you're not arguing the point. I'm just adding validity to the point.
Obviously, there's the Tua concussion aspect of it all, too. That's definitely a factor. But, yeah, and I'm not saying against it, too, because it actually goes to what I said earlier about, like, offense mattering more, ultimately, in the long run, if for contending and whatnot. I think some people, like, you know, it's hard to say, why would we spend $8 million on a backup quarterback when we need a cornerback or a safety? It's like, well, I think ultimately because of basically not – because you're going to get Nick Foles level performance, what he did, but because of that scenario where you can still contend for a title, if you're a really good backup, as opposed to, is that safety going to make like the same kind of difference for you? Probably not going to make or break it the way the quarterback could. So that's the thing with the Eagles being interested in Jacoby Brissett right now. I think there's some kind of ire from people. It's like, well, how could we possibly sign him when we don't have, or we might lose Chauncey Gardner-Johnson? Well, I'm like, well, because Jalen Hurts goes down and you have Jacoby Brissett, you might be able to kind of navigate your path here a little bit, at least, I don't know, you know, if you're winning the Super Bowl, if he's starting the game, but at least keep your season afloat and keep things alive and keep it going a bit until Hurts can come back. Whereas if you're going with Ian Book, like, or a rookie, probably not.
Jacoby fits that mold too. Like, and like Nick Foles, the second, obviously, era in Philly is the like ultimate example, right? Like, the dude can come in and win the Super Bowl. And even like Kurt Warner is an example of that, like the lotto ticket that like paid off. But like, even if you don't win the Super Bowl, think about the Cardinals 2 years ago when Colt McCoy had to play, right? Like, he kept the ship afloat. Like, you got to the playoffs. And like, when you get to the playoffs, you have no idea what's going to happen. Like, so like, yeah, if you have to face some sort of 3-5 game or whatever stretch with a backup quarterback, you want somebody who has been there and done that and seen things in the NFL. Who is going to be, or who like was in the most dire of circumstances with that a year ago? The 49ers. Like, so why not go out and get somebody like, it's 50 starts, over 50 starts in the NFL. Like, and you're telling me that like, that's not good enough to challenge Sam Howell. You know what I mean? Like, that's where I'm just kind of lost on what Washington's doing, but whatever.
I don't know if you saw this, but this kind of has to do with your favorite player, who's a free agent out there. Odell Beckham Jr. Did you see that? Per Diana Russini from ESPN, Aaron Rodgers has provided the Jets with a wish list of free agents.
Like, do you not listen to anything I say?
This is what you said? Oh, yes. I didn't hear it.
I literally read this. So let's end on this note, because I do think this is interesting in that, like, there's so many mouths to feed, right? Or only so many mouths that you can feed, rather, on offense. Like, so, like, obviously the Cowboys have been connected to Odell Beckham Jr., but if Odell, and I don't want to steal this tweet or to steal this idea. This was, I saw Dave Hellman, a Fox Sports tweet this out. If Odell landing with New York allows for Elijah Moore or Denzel Mims to be traded, I would much rather have either of those players than Odell Beckham Jr. You get what I'm saying? Like, so if Odell landing with the Jets allows for, like, when we trade, like, the Cowboys trade third, fourth round pick for either one of these players, I would much prefer that reality. Cowboys have been connected to them in the past, like, in different trade discussions. So, like, I'm all for this. And if Aaron Rodgers is the sequence that starts that chain reaction, sign me up all the more for it.
Maybe more so Elijah Moore than Denzel Mims, I would say.
I'm cool with either at this point.
You're really cool with Denzel Mims with 42 career catches for 676 yards and 0 touchdowns.
BLG, Noah Brown was second on the Cowboys in receiving last year.
Noah Brown has been better than Denzel Mims.
But like, I don't need Denzel Mims to come in and be like my top flight wide receiver from the Cowboys. Like, the Cowboys restructured Michael Gallup. They believe in him. That's a bit of a slippery slope in my mind, but whatever. But if you're adding Denzel Mims or Elijah Moore to a group that already features CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup, like, I like that a lot. I mean, and then you don't have to deal with the Odell stuff. You know what I mean? Which is obviously
Denzel Mims would not be available to play at Lincoln Financial Field when the Cowboys come because he's scared of Philadelphia. Okay. Look it up.
Well, you know who's not is Andrew Wiley. He's excited about the opportunity.
He's going to get worked by us already.
I hope he wears the shirt in warmups. That's what I really want. Like, go
in theory,
full,
He can wear the jersey. He could change his number to zero if the NFL allowed it, but they're not allowing it.
This is the last thing I want to bring up. Because you brought up, and we talked about that before, Philly suggesting the rule that players can wear zero. The Chargers, I don't know if you saw this. I wrote about this, but we've had a lot coming out, so it'll be out when people listen to this. But the Chargers suggested a rule that if a wild card team is playing a division winner in the playoffs, or not even playing, but that wild card teams who have four or more wins than a wild card or than a division winner should be seeded higher in the playoffs. So the Chargers' point isn't like, oh, well, we're 12-5 and you're 11-6. We should be seeded higher. It's only if you have at least four more wins than that team, which I think is fair, right? Because that's a big margin, right? Like if you're that much better, it doesn't happen all the time. But I wrote the article, like I said, this would have applied to the Cowboys this past year. In that circumstance, they would have hosted the Bucks. They wound up winning, obviously. But and this also would have applied to the Bucks in 2020. They were 11-5. That was the last 16-game regular season. And they visited the 7-9 football team. So if you have four more wins than the division winner, I'm totally fine with you getting to host that playoff game.
I don't think it needs to be changed.
Wow. Okay. We'll see what happens next year then.
If you can't beat that team, then it's pretty sad for you.
I agree with that. I agree with that. Who was the – oh, the Seahawks were the one, right? The below 500 team.
Because that's the thing here. That's the only difference there would be, right? You're not reseeding it, you're saying.
You are reseeding. That's the point. Oh, okay. Like the team in this case – well, like to use an example, the Cowboys would have had a higher seed than the Bucks last year. Hmm. And I think that the Chargers proposal also suggests that any other wildcard team, like you could have two wildcard teams technically be seeded than higher than a division winner. It's just that that doesn't apply to last year. The only team that would have applied to would have been the Cowboys, but like technically had the Giants also had 12 wins, they would have technically been seeded higher than the Bucks too.
I don't feel strongly about it, but I will say in general, as a general kind of take on rule proposals and stuff, the NFL needs to do a lot better job of just at least temporarily trying things sometimes, because if we can do the whole Sean Payton is mad and right. has to get his way, pass interference was challengeable and it was so dumb, and we can do that for a year, then why can't we do something like the onside kick proposal that the Eagles have been doing or whatever? Like, just give it a trial run. Why not?
I mean, like, I know people think that baseball is broken and that their system is whatever, but like, I do appreciate how they try stuff, right? They're like, oh, we're going to try the pitch clock. We're going to try this.
And if it doesn't work, you take it out.
Remember when the MLB All-Star game would decide home field advantage in the World Series? Yeah. And everybody was like, this is so dumb. And then everybody was like, you should change it. And then they changed it and everybody was mad. And then now people are like, oh, this makes sense. Try it out. Like, you know what I mean? It's just one season.
What do you have to lose? Yeah.
Nothing.
They act like it's going to like alter the history of the league and it's going to create this like crazy year where something weird happens and it doesn't actually fit in the normal structure.
I think Rich Eisen says this all the time. I know that you don't mind it, but the touchback rule when you fumble at the goal line, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Me and Stats have argued about this. Rich Eisen has said many, many, many times, and I would love to see this happen, obviously without the Cowboys involved. He has said there's going to come a day where that play is going to decide the Super Bowl. And then, like, if you thought people freaked out at the Sean Payton thing, you know, the pass interference in the NFC title game, if the weird fumble touchback thing happened in the Super Bowl, it would be total and absolute chaos on the internet.
Do you play pool at all?
I love pool. I play on my iPhone all the time. Oh, actually, well, go ahead. Make your point about pool.
What do you play?
Like, straight up normal pool. I don't, like, nine ball's fine, but, like, regular straight up.
I like a nine ball. But what app are you playing? Are you playing the
iPhone mini game thing on the chats.
Oh, okay, the chat one. No, that's different. Not as good. But I like to play when I control the table. And shout out to my friend Jess. Jess and I were running the table the other night at this bar. I had this sequence where I hit. No one cares. None of this matters. I hit. Right. It's really cool. I hit six shots in a row. Close out the game. And anyway, when I control the table, because the person who, you know, is like controlling the table, I sets the rules. I like to play with ball in hand. meaning that, and I don't know how you feel, like, you know what I mean? So you can, if you scratch, if there's a scratch, if let's say my opponent scratches, I can put the ball anywhere I want on the table. I don't have to do that, the thing where you have to put it behind the line and everyone's like,
the two dots or whatever. Yeah. Like you can't cross that barrier.
Why? You should be punished. Don't scratch, because if you scratch, you get punished. Like I think things should be like that. And to me, it's the fumble thing. It's like, don't fumble. If you don't want it, like, have this thing hurt you. And also, there's so many rules that favor the offense. There's so, like, the way refs call the game, it's all favored towards offense.
I'm not saying you don't have a point.
I'm arguing against the people who'd say it's the dumbest rule. Florio is the dumbest rule in sports.
I don't like the rule.
It's not the dumbest rule in sports. That's so
my only pushback to your point, because I think you, like, your point has merit, but like my only pushback is so I'm not a professional athlete, right? But like I want to watch professional athletes be great and be heroic. You know what I mean? And do things that, like, you know, in my mind, like, mortals can't achieve. So like I want to see somebody like dive and reach for the end zone, right? Like you know, at all costs, right? So like you do, and like to your point, like there is some calculated risk that goes into that. But like when you do that, like, you know, or like the rule punishes heroism in my mind. You know what I'm saying? Like it punishes like the ability to dare. You know what I'm saying? But like a dare is a dare because there's like a consequence to it. So like I kind of talked myself into it back and forth. Last thing, and then we'll get out of here because we ran really long.
I have one last thing when you're done.
Okay, your last thing, because I want my.
I really think I probably mentioned this before. My one little rule tweak that I'd like to see tweak is that, you know how the touchback is at the 25-yard line, used to be the 20 on kickoffs.
Right, that was a change that they tried, and whoa, the world didn't end. Right.
I feel like if you were able to kick it through the uprights on the kickoff, because you see that from time to time,
right,
you know, then it should be at the 20 instead of the 25. I think you should be able to move it back 5 yards if you do that.
I like that rule. Dave Damashek has suggested
a little
before,
bonus.
Like a middle, I forget what he called it, but like a middle pole to the upright, like that you could call for, and if you can hit it, it's worth 5 points. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm butchering what his point was, but it was something in that
the concept. Yeah.
Right. That would be kind of cool. Like, I like the ability to like call your shot sort of thing. Imagine like Justin Tucker. Like Justin Tucker's getting a bigger contract in like that world. But the last thing, for anyone who does have an iPhone that plays the mini games with people who have iPhones, Brandon was like, I'm the best at the word search games.
I am.
I'm the best at all the word games, blah, blah.
Okay.
And I
just
repeatedly
beat you two of the last three times.
Smoke him. I Brandon has nothing on me in these word games.
That's
anagrams.
So not true.
I don't. Anagrams a little bit more 50-50 split, but like you were like, I dominate.
I'd say I'm above you in anagrams. You're above me in the word thing, but that's still close.
The word search, I smoke you. Like it is Broncos, Seahawks, Super Bowl level smoke.
No, it is not. That's insane. No, it is not. I just beat you in it the last time we played.
Nah. You beat me in anagrams. The one I don't like is the one that looks like Scrabble. Like, because it takes so much work to move the
There's a lot of
around.
Variance in that one. See? Yeah. Here. Look here, listeners. See those two crowns? It's hard to see in my phone here, but there's two crowns. Crown one.
Click on the word search. Do the record. It should tell you the record.
Does it say
I don't know.
No, I don't think it does. I'm looking for that. I don't see it.
Wow. Well,
I usually beat you.
Sad day for you.
And the one I lost to you by was by 200 points. Like it could not have been a more thin margin.
BLG gets smoked repeatedly by me, and he was like, "I'm." When we started playing, he was like, "I'm really good. Just watch out. There's no. Everybody says I'm really good, and then I immediately just dropped.
I think I said everyone says I'm really good. I just know I'm really good.
Holden. I called him out. Don't worry.
Holden easily.
Yeah, I believe that. Okay. Let's get out of here, Brandon. As we leave, why don't you tell us your favorite food that comes in a bag that you have to open? So like chips. Doesn't have to be chips, but like anything that comes in a bag that you have to open.
Oh, man. Well, it used to be these specific brand of chips called Late July that were bacon habanero flavor. They don't make them anymore, at least to my knowledge. Right now, I think what jumps to mind is the truffle potato chips from Trader Joe's. And I have a question for you and the listeners to ruminate on. Can't answer now. You have to think about it.
Okay.
Three apps on your phone that you would keep if you could only have three apps.
The prompt is your favorite top mode ever, three apps.
You can only have three apps on your entire phone.
Do you have to include like, do I have to count the like a text app or a phone app? Like, do those have to, or are those like, are those stock apps that come with the phone?
That's a good question. I feel like the spirit of the question has to be like apps that aren't the stock apps. It's like, right. let's make it three apps you can download, like three ones you would.
Three apps available in the app store.
Yeah.
Okay. Hashtag NFC East app. Let us know.